You may be seated.
The last case in our calendar is 04-851 Asset Acceptance LLC versus Terry L. Mack. Mr. Mason.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, Thomas Mason on behalf of the appellant, Terry L. Mack. Of course, the issue in this case is a relatively simple one, whether or not a dormant judgment accrues interest. And at least until fairly recently, the answer to that question is somewhat difficult to find out because the statutes did not address specifically that issue of whether or not a dormant judgment would accrue interest. It would appear, at least to the appellant, that the fact that the judgment is dormant would be an indication that it is inactive. It is not doing anything because we don't have any real guidance from the legislature. We're dealing with the definitions of words, Black's Law Dictionary, what have you. Dormant means inactive, sleeping, that type of thing.
What does the statute on interest say?
On the statute on interest?
Yes, we have a statute that says that interest runs on judgments, don't we?
Well, there is a statute, of course, which changes periodically on how much the interest rate is. That is correct.
Yes.
I don't believe that statute.
Well, my understanding is 134302 says that interest shall be computed until payment is made at the rate specified in.
Well, that's correct, but I think 1343 says that interest on a judgment will accrue until it is paid. But specifically does not.
But there's no exemption in the statute for a dormant judgment, is there?
Not in that one, but if.
Is there any statute that you can point me to that says that the legislature has addressed dormancy with respect to interest? I know they've done it with respect to liens, but they haven't done it with respect to interest, as far as I know.
Well, they did this past year in June.
But that doesn't apply to this case.
No, that's correct. I do not believe the issue was addressed.
I was looking for some guidance to help us resolve this matter.
Excuse me, Your Honor?
I was looking for some guidance to help us resolve this matter.
Well, it would be my position. 134302 refers to a judgment accruing interest, but that again, it's the same judgment that then becomes dormant. So it would be my position that a dormant judgment does not accrue interest, that 134302 would not override the dormancy because it says a judgment will accrue interest.
Well, it's still it's still a judgment, isn't it?
It's a judgment,
and it
but
says
it's dormant.
Interest will be computed until payment is made. Doesn't say but for dormancy.
Right, but when a judgment becomes dormant, it's not accruing any interest. I mean, it's dormant. It's not doing anything. I mean, that's our position.
Thank you.
But counsel, with the new statute, the comment is interest shall not accrue and shall not be computed from the date the judgment became dormant to the date it's revived. Couldn't we infer from that that's changing what was previous? That is, that dormancy allowed interest to accrue.
I don't believe so. It's difficult to find out what the intent of the legislature was with regard to that particular statute that was passed. Because the law, in my opinion, was unclear, it would be my position that was an attempt to clarify that issue. Because it was so unclear, I can't tell you that they were codifying what they intended originally. I don't think we really know, but I think they clearly were clarifying that issue so that, you know, we don't have to deal with this. Of course, this case loses some of its importance by the fact that they have done that. And we certainly understand that the statute would not have retroactive application. But I think one question that the court should consider is if the court would rule in favor of the appellee in this case, what effect then does that have on judgments that say are dormant now and have been for several years? If the court rules in favor of the appellee, then you would have to bifurcate these dormant judgments and say, well, they would accrue interest until June 2nd of 2004, because that's what the case law was, and then the statute was passed. So I think the case still has some importance for this court, because I'm sure that issue is going to arise on a dormant judgment.
So your counsel, you're applying that to judgments that are dormant now, have been prior to the enactment of the new piece of legislation, and you would envision upon the revival you'll have a bifurcated interest accrual as of the date of the change in the law.
Yeah, I'm
if we rule that in essence affirm here, is that correct?
That's correct. I think that raises the issue. Now, obviously, what would happen a lot of times is a party reviving a judgment would not even deal with that problem. They would just assume that they're not entitled to interest during that dormant period. But some...
So that's a bookkeeping problem that we're maybe really shouldn't influence us here.
Well, it is a bookkeeping problem in a sense, although I certainly think it would be a lot easier if the courts didn't have to deal with that particular issue. It would seem to make sense that this case here is the last case of prejudgment or dormant judgment interest before the change in the statute, and it would certainly make sense to infer that the legislature was clarifying that issue, and therefore apply it to this particular case. I'm not necessarily saying that the court should do that because it would be the easy thing to do and make sense, but I also believe that under the case law in the Battaglia case, that the position that it does not accrue interest carries more weight. It seems that the gist of the cases supporting the appellee tend to speak in terms of a dormant judgment being having been sleeping and then awakened, as opposed to being destroyed and recreated. But I don't believe that when you revive a judgment, we are not advocating that it has been destroyed and is now being recreated. That's not true. All we're saying is that during its dormancy, it can't collect interest. Certainly could collect interest for the first 5 years before it became dormant, and after it is revived, but not during the period of dormancy. I would preserve balance and rebuttal.
Thank you, Mr. Mason. Mr. Dowd.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court, Edward Dowd on behalf of Asset Acceptance Corporation, the appellee in this matter. Your Honors, a simple issue before this court, as Mr. Mason pointed out, is whether or not a interest continues to accrue during the period of a dormancy of a judgment. Now, I would take issue with Mr. Mason's characterization of the judgment sleeping and it does nothing. Quite frankly, it is without a doubt a dormant judgment is, in fact, a valid judgment in the state of Ohio. The effect of the dormancy basically defeats the lien if there is one placed upon some property. But the fact of the matter is that the judgment remains a valid judgment in the state of Ohio. And with regard to the cases, or the only case that Mr. Mason relies upon, the Battaglia case, it is our position that court's handling of this issue is somewhat of an aberration and is in direct conflict with this court's prior handling of the issue of laches and whether or not interest accruing on a note during a period of time when there's no efforts to collect on it constitute laches. In this court, in the 34 Corp versus 67 Corp case in 1984, clearly articulated that there's no basis for a laches claim merely because there's a delay in trying to enforce one's right under the note and that the interest continues to accrue. The simple matter is, ladies and your honors, is the judgment in question arose out of a promissory note. The note was executed. The party agreed to pay 13% interest in paying off that note. That party, for whatever reason, chose not to honor that obligation, And certainly, there is no material prejudice to that person because they chose not to honor their obligations under the note. So it is our position that the cases that we cited in our brief, specifically the Ucker case out of the 5th District, the Kuntz case out of the 2nd District, and the Potter case out of the 7th District, all of which addressed the specific issue and concluded that although the dormant judgment may be, so to speak, sleeping, it is a valid judgment, and as long as we have a valid judgment, the interest would continue to accrue. Now, Justice O'Donnell points out accurately that the statute under 1343.02 specifically says that upon all judgments on a note, the interest continues to interest shall be computed until a payment is made. It doesn't carve out an exception for dormant judgments. It says all judgments. And a dormant judgment is a valid judgment in Ohio. And consequently, I think it was quite clear, even under the prior legislative enactment, that up until the time of the amendment of 2325, effective June of this year, that interest did accrue on dormant judgments. And the legislature has recently chosen to modify or change the law in that regard. But the fact remains that up until that point in time, the interest did accrue. It is consistent with those appellate decisions which have addressed it, again, with the exception of the Pataglia decision, and likewise consistent with this court's own notion of whether or not laches can apply in a situation where interest accrues. And it's important to note that the Pataglia decision was predicated wholly upon the notion of prejudice. It was not a general proposition that it doesn't accrue during a period of dormancy. The court noted that there was prejudice that occurred, and that prejudice was the continuing running of the interest during the period of the dormancy. That's why I would submit that that decision is contrary to this court's prior issues, their handling of that matter in the 34 Corp decision, Your Honor. And quite frankly, Your Honors, I think it's a fairly straightforward issue. I think the appellate courts that have handled it accurately reflected that a valid judgment, the interest would continue to accrue during the period of the dormancy. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Dowd. Mr. Mason, you've saved 7 minutes of your time.
Thank you, Your Honor. I think the question of, I guess it is a valid judgment. There may be some dispute about that when it's dormant. I don't think you can actually collect on the judgment. You can't execute on the judgment until it's revived. So to say that it's still a valid judgment, I think is open to question. Because there is literally nothing that can be done with that judgment while it is in its dormancy. The laches argument, quite frankly, I don't necessarily believe that the laches argument in the Pataglia case, that I quite agree with that kind of being the gravamen of their decision. I don't think that the material prejudice of laches would be the reason why a dormant judgment wouldn't accrue interest. It would simply be for the fact that it is dormant. Although it should be pointed out in this case before the court that I believe the $7,000 amount that was owed after it was revived, I mean, this was a $1,700 odd judgment back in 1990. So obviously there is material prejudice to
Well, counsel, did your client realize that he owed this money?
Well, Your Honor, that's difficult to answer because of the nature of my client, so to speak. He did not believe that he owed this money.
Well, whether he agreed with it or not, there was a valid judgment at one point. He knew it, and it seems to me that we could characterize laches as a two-way street here, allowing a minimal judgment amount to turn into, have the potential to turn into what it has in a dollar amount.
Yeah, I think if you go back into the history of the case, it's somewhat complicated, at least in terms of what happened to my client. And then the judgment was transferred.
Sure.
And quite frankly, my client simply does not understand how that can happen. So he never thought that he owed it in the first place. He thought that the bank owed him money. And so, yes, he was surprised when they filed the motion to revive, but that was his fault for not understanding basically what was happening.
The appellee does say in his brief that the appellant has been aware of the terms set forth in the judgment since the original judgment was issued. Is that not correct?
I'm sorry, Your Honor, since the...
I'm reading from page 3 of the appellee's brief. Appellant has been aware of the terms set forth in the judgment since the original judgment was issued. Is that an incorrect statement?
I believe, Your Honor, that it is an incorrect statement. And I think the statement in the brief simply is kind of quoting the case law stating that, well, you know, you had a judgment against you, so you know you owe the money. Although, you know, in reality, oftentimes people may, especially people have a lot of judgments against them, may forget about a judgment. And this was, I think, in 1990.
Well, I guess this goes to Justice O'Connor's observation. Latches can go both ways, can it not? He knows he has a judgment. He knows the terms of it, and he doesn't pay it.
Right.
Make any effort to pay it. So where are the latches here? Both parties somewhat responsible for doing something, and neither did anything?
I would agree with that, Your Honor. I think that's true. And I, you know, like I say, I'm not really of the belief that latches is the crucial issue in this case. And finally, I think what I would submit is if you accept the appellee's argument that 1343.02 requires the payment of the judgment and interest until paid, then it would appear to me that the new statute is in direct conflict with that statute. And the only way you can get around that is to conclude that the legislature was again merely clarifying what was an ambiguous situation. I can't say that they were codifying their intent, but I do believe that it was a clarification of the ambiguity in the law. Thank you.
Thank you. The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion.